If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Welcome to the Hawk Talk Podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers with Charlie Remeliotis. I am Pat Boyle. How are you doing today?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. This Stanley Cup season is winding down as we get ready tonight for Game 5 in Vegas. Coming up on this week's podcast, your mailbag questions, some great ones regarding potential moves the Hawks could make before the draft, around the draft, this offseason. But, Charlie, I want to start with the comments that the chairman, Rocky Wirtz, made to Crane Business earlier in the week. Among those, in case you have not heard, on why the Hawks struggled last season, Rocky said, quote, "The better players all had off years. There were a lot of reasons. We're not going to have a knee-jerk reaction. You can't let emotions be in control." Rocky also went on to say, "I think the team will be fine. But if things are off at the beginning of the year, that's a different story. Nothing lasts forever." Asked if that means changes could occur right after the holiday season if the team is doing poorly. And Rocky had a short answer, yes. So, look, very direct, very to the point. And your initial thoughts on what the chairman had to say?
Yeah, I don't think anything is happening this offseason where any significant changes. Obviously, Joel Quenneville and Stan Bowman are coming back, but I'm not sure. Basically, what I read from Rocky's comments is that this next season, this is it. It's sink or swim. Like, you got to show progression. I know Stan Bowman has been looking in the long term while he makes all these, you know, deals, and I think it was the right move to bring Joel Quenneville back. But I think the thing that stuck out to me with Rocky is asked if that means change would occur right after the holiday season if the team is doing poorly, where it's had a short answer, yes. And I think the only move you can make there is by firing the head coach. So, because it wouldn't make any sense to part ways with the general manager mid-season or make any knee-jerk player trade. You know, you don't sell after November or Christmas. So the problem is, if you do get off to a slow start after, you know, around the holiday season, is there's not, you know, Barry Trotz could become available if he doesn't re-sign with Washington. So you're getting all these.
He's going to resign with Washington if they win the cup.
I'm not sure if he wants to, though. I think
there'll be several million reasons why. Yeah,
I agree he should. I think that's the.
But we'll see. He's in the driver's seat there. Yeah, I understand.
But anyways, you're losing out on a pool of head coaches if you decide to make a change. In my opinion, this was very direct that if things go sideways at the beginning, it's probably going to be a coaching change.
You know, the way I look back, I was surprised a move was not made at the end of this season. I feel the tone that came out of 1901 West Madison, you know, from John McDonough, was because of past success, we're going to give everybody another chance. We're going to give everybody a pass on this year. And there was enough blame to go around. You know, you could say it was Crawford. You could say it was the roster. You could say it was, special teams play, coaching. You know, there was a lot of blame to go around. And because of that, they decided to give a Hall of Fame coach a pass and a general manager whose father is the gold standard in the NHL a pass and who's been a part of three cups as a general manager, and give them one more shot. I'm with you. This is it. This is sink or swim season. No question about it. I do think, yeah, you don't often see general managers, although we did this year. Carolina made a change in leadership towards the end of the season, because you got to remember trade deadline as well. Like, if if you don't like the moves that the GM made, say, this offseason, and he knows he's playing this season for his future, his next, so to speak, I don't know if you necessarily want them making deals at the trade deadline if what they have done has not worked. So I'm with you. It usually points to a coaching change. It could point to a GM. What I think will happen if things do go south, I think you will see the Blackhawks name a president of hockey operations. And that person will evaluate the remainder of the season, and that person will make swift changes. That's where I read it.
It's interesting. And I want to clarify, I don't think Rocky Wirtz was sending a message to Joel Quenneville with these comments.
Yeah,
I just think that's the easiest change. I shouldn't say easiest, but that's the change that you can make mid-season. And you know, Pittsburgh won a cup in 2009 when they made a coaching change mid-season, and even 2 years ago with Mike Sullivan. Like, that's the change you can make in season and still not give up on that year. So I don't think it was necessarily a direct message to Quenneville, but I do think. We had a previous podcast that we were talking about our bold predictions with Scott Powers too and yourself, and this is why I think something is going to go down on draft day, because they can't. My prediction was they're going to trade the 27th pick, because that pick is irrelevant. Like, you need to attach that to either move up to 8 or attach it and get a top 4 defenseman or whatever, because this season is like,
yeah,
you got to make progress.
Right. And just by the way, thanks for those of you that have been really faithful on the podcast each and every week. Charlie and myself are going to be heading to Dallas. We'll be all over the NHL draft. Next week's podcast, by the way, is going to be draft intensive. It's going to be all about the draft. We'll have Mark Kelly, director of amateur scouting, on that as well. So we'll get you up to speed. We'll touch a little bit on the draft coming up on this podcast. But I'm with you. You know, this is a, you know, we know the window's closing. We know the core is down to just a handful. And we know everybody's on notice.
Yeah.
So this is a huge, I'm with you. I think something significant. I'm not, because what is major, right? Is it to me a $4 million player and up? That's major to me, or that's a significant move. I think we're going to be in store for something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to be Artemi Panarin significant, or and then Nicholas Jalmerson significant.
I'll say it's going to be defenseman significant. I think that is clearly where the Blackhawks need to focus. I think it's the biggest problem on this team, assuming Corey is healthy. It's by far, to me, the biggest issue. And bringing a top four D-man in, maybe preferably a right-handed shot, I think that will elevate what is currently in the mix. So here, I want to move on to another topic this week. There was news about a new Chicago Pro Hockey League that I think starting in July, right?
Yeah,
and it's
going to
be at MB Ice Arena here in Chicago. 6 Blackhawks will be on it, and I'll just quickly run through the names. Yoki Haru will be there, which will be great. Osterle, Alex DeBrincat, Brandon Saad will be there. Vinny Hinostroza, Nick Schmaltz, and, oh, by the way, 88, Patrick Kane will be there. No Jonathan Toews. I'll start first on this. I think the optics look bad. Charlie, I do. I think if you're Jonathan Toews, okay, and your production has been in a decline for the last 3 seasons, and there's been question about your off-season training regimen, you know, whether it's the diet, whether it's you're doing more, you know, quick twitch things and muscle-related things, less on-ice training, less shooting. The optics, to me, don't look good if you didn't go to the World Championships and you're not on the ice for this. And the former MVP who went and led Team USA, he continues to do this stuff. Like, I get deciding maybe not to play in the Worlds, but to me, when you have this long of an off season, when there's this many question marks, like, he's not coming off a 42-goal season. You know, he's coming off, and you went out and got a player in Brandon Saad to help elevate him, and part of that goes on Brandon. I'm not saying that's all on, but
he's the captain.
Yeah, I mean, they made significant moves, to use the word, to help his play. You need to – you're making $10 million a year, Charlie. Go out and show me you're worthy of that, because right now, I mean, there's times when we look at the NHL points scoring leaders midseason, and he's like 90th.
Yeah.
I mean, am I – like, I'm not making that up.
No.
And there's no way you could be a top 10 paid player – and be 100th in scoring. It just doesn't work that way. So to me, optics look bad. I don't like seeing this. I think Tave should be at this. And I'd like to hear a reason why.
Yeah, and another revealing part of the Rocky Wirtz interview was kind of towards the bottom of the story. You know, the reporter asked whether Rocky regretted giving Taves and Kane that money, and Rocky said no, because at the time it was worth it. And then he followed that up by saying, but now they got to go earn it. And I don't think that's a shot at Patrick Kane, and I don't think that's a shot at Duncan Keith either, because, you know, Duncan Keith's making $5.5 million, and Patrick Kane is
that's a shot at 19.
Yep. And, you know, whether you like it or not, I don't want to make a huge deal out of this, because I just found this out today that it's July 11th. It's like 8 weeks. So I think it's like, but, and I don't know if Patrick
Kane. Yeah, but can you duck in and duck out?
Exactly.
Like, that's my question. You know what I mean?
And
I'm sure
you can put yourself on a team and, you know, maybe appear in a week or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's hard, because you get all these, like, DeBrinket, Saad, Kane, and even Joakim Hare, they're all going. It would be cool if Jonathan Taves could make an appearance. And I know it might be difficult travel wise, because he spends his, you know, his off season up in Winnipeg, and travel might be a factor, but, like, if you can get that out for a week, just make your presence known. Because the thing that's, like, that's hard with Taves is, like, Patrick Kane, like, on a morning skate or a practice, he's like one of the first ones out, he's always the last one off, you know, and Jonathan Taves is one of the first guys off the ice. And I get it, because some players are completely different, where they need to get their mind away from the game, and but when you're, like, you need to be, your presence needs to be felt among that, even if it's not play related, like, you need to be part of the guys.
Exactly.
Like, Patrick Kane is always out there with Alex DeBrincat and Nick Schmaltz and all those young guys, and he's integrated in that. It's always the veterans that are off the, and I get it, Seabrook, Keith, those guys have played a lot of hockey, but, like, you guys need to be, they need to be a team, they need to be integrated into these young guys, and it can't be the young guys and the veterans, it needs to be, you know, the Blackhawks.
And that's Kane said that to me last July when he was helping out with Jeremy Roenick's hockey camp out at Seven Bridges, went out there, and I interviewed him
for a podcast.
And he said to me, it can't be the young guys and the old guys. We need to come together as a team. And that's something that, like, he took on his shoulders that he needs. And to me, that meant, you know, golfing with Vinny and Schmaltz. And at the time, he was also playing with Hartman, you know, before he was obviously traded. And I wasn't going to go down this road, but because we're here, I'll say it. I feel Kane is displaying more leadership roles right now, more captain-like roles than Jonathan Taves. And I thought I'd never would say that. But I really feel that that's the case. I think he has tried to bridge, like, he basically said enough of the, you know, we can't just talk about core guys, young, you know, like, and now the core's dwindled, obviously. But he's taken it upon himself to connect to these guys, spend time with them, you know, go to the Worlds if I have to, you know, take part here. He does a lot, you know, they golf, they do it. And I'm not asking John to host parties at his condo. I'm just saying, you need to do something.
Just be part of the guys.
Because it feels like he's on an island right now. And I know we always joke Captain Sears, but, like, you know, there needs to be some camaraderie there. There needs to be, you know, these guys are in awe when they walk in that room. You need to lighten the mood up a little bit and develop chemistry. And, it's not all about you and your stats. So I don't know where you feel on that. That wasn't something we were going to discuss. But
how much do you feel is that? Because, listen, Jonathan knows all the outside criticism ever since the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup. He's kind of been on this. Because it used to be – there was a point in time where it was Taves and Crosby. There was a debate who was better. Now it's, not even close. Yeah, no. And Jonathan Toews, I believe, he got nominated to the All-Star game, not this past season, but the previous year. And remember, we all interviewed
him. It was because the top 100 was going to be announced, right? And he was going to be part of that. And,
but, yeah, he was kind of a little bit embarrassed.
He did. He absolutely.
And so how much do you think him not – I don't want to say, he's not acting like a leader, but it's hard to, make your presence known in a locker room when you're not producing.
Right.
How do you –
that's a great point. And I think that's a – I think nobody's harder on John than John. I think and you can see it on him when you're around
him.
He
wants it too hard.
Yeah, but he's also this is the situation. This is where we're at. So then you need to change up what you're doing. And if the team wants you to go this route in off-season training, then you maybe have to consider it, because whatever you're doing, it's not working on the ice,
Right.
And I think you owe it to the team and the fan base to pardon the phrase of what Rocky said, go earn it. If you don't make the playoffs – and there's a summer league in your backyard, to me, you need to either have a really good reason why you're not, or take part in it to some degree.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see if he goes to the convention, because I don't think he went last year, correct? Maybe it was the previous year.
I think John did go. They blend together, honest.
There was a year that he didn't.
Right.
But I think that was just prior commitment.
Yeah.
But again, he
Look, when they're winning cups, I understand that. That's something they have had, they've had issues, some of the guys on that team, because the season is so short. You win the cup, it's late June. You're really not starting your offseason until July 1, and then 3 weeks later it's the convention. So those years – hey, you know what? Those are, we like to call, champagne problems. I don't mind that if that's what, the discussion we have to have. Are you going to come and cut your trip to Europe short to the convention because we won another cup? Those are champagne problems. We haven't had that issue the last 3 years. 2-1 and dones and not qualifying for the playoffs. You've had more than an ample amount of time to see the globe.
Yeah.
So go check the box and go, go to the convention. And again, because that... Look, you don't get just paid the $10.5 million per, and last year you got paid a lot more. You don't get paid that just for the 82. I mean, it's a job, and you have a long off season. Come in and hang for two nights and shake hands and kiss babies and take pictures. I mean, that's part of the deal. And if you don't like it,
Yeah, and I know a lot of people said this year might be a bounce back year for Jonathan Toews, but I really do think he will bounce back next year, because all the underlying numbers were there just for whatever. Same with Brandon Saad. And so we could come back to this podcast and, the first couple months of next season and he bounces back and it's not a problem because whatever he was doing, it was fine. But it's really going to open himself up to criticism if next year, if the numbers again don't match up to what the underlying numbers are saying.
All right, let's go to the mailbag questions. We got a lot this week.
A lot of good ones.
Yeah, first one from CM Bolin, and they chime in. If the Blackhawks could only get one of the defensemen on this list, which one are you choosing and why? And the list that they have are Erik Karlsson, John Karlsson, Jacob Trouba, or Justin Falk. I'll let you start off on that first.
Yeah, this is interesting to me. So I'm gonna guess that we're just going to go with player and what their term is right now, and not what you would need to give, you would have to trade for Erik Karlsson while John Karlsson is a free agent.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if we're just going player, obviously Erik Karlsson is the best player available there, but he's got a year remaining. So do you want 1 year of Erik Karlsson, or do you want, maybe eight years of John Karlsson, this is tough. I think if we're going cost certainty, I think Justin Falk would be a good one. And I would be curious to see what Jacob Trouba gets in Winnipeg. And you know, he might be, I don't know if he's going to get a bridge deal, if he's going to get a long-term deal. I like, and the ironic thing about this list is they're all right-handed shots, so it would fit a need for the Blackhawks. I think Justin Falk will have a bounce-back season, but if we're going in a vacuum, I would take Jacob Trouba because he's the younger guy. He has higher upside. He's right-handed shot, and he would probably be more cost efficient as well in the short and long term.
So obviously, I would love if they could get Erik Karlsson.
Yeah,
the 1 year remaining on his deal at $6.5 million. If you move Hossa to long term.
Yeah.
He's at 5 point, whatever.
5 point. So right now they're at what, 6 million?
6 million with seven players they would still need to sign. You know, they could probably swing that. I think there's a way you could get creative and make Karlsson and the 6.5 work. And then at that point, you're saying to yourself, hey, we've got one of the best defensemen in the league. We're going to pair him up. You know, I don't know if they pair him up with Duncan or what, but and all of a sudden you've got like an elite defensive pairing. And I think you're back in the race. And then you're hoping you sell him on that year. And then maybe, you know, if you do hoist the thing, you make the tough decision of who you need to get rid of to sign him to a long-term deal, if you think that's the option. I don't think Carlson's going to happen. John Karlsson, that is. I think he's going to get, what, 8 to 9 million, 8 million?
Yeah, I would say probably maybe a little bit north of 8.
Okay, so I just don't think that that's going to happen. I don't think that the Hawks can make that financial commitment. I'm with you. Falk and Trouba are the more realistic options here. Falk carries a 4.8 cap hit for the next two seasons. He's 26.
And you would be buying low with him. Because
yeah, he had a bad year last year.
Yep.
But he's had some really productive years as well. Again, I like, you know, the right-hand shot, help you on power play, upgrades that the Hawks need. Trouba, you know, that might be more realistic. 24, he's a $2.8 million cap hit. You know, maybe
the individual.
Winnipeg needs some scoring.
Yeah. The in-division might be tough. Like, so if they get rid of if Winnipeg gets rid of Paul Stastny, if they don't re-sign him, like I could see like if Winnipeg would want an Anisimov and try to replace, you know what I mean, and try to work around that. Well, I'm not sure Winnipeg, because Kevin Cheveldayoff and Stan Bowman obviously go back when Kevin was an assistant GM here in Chicago, so I don't think it would be completely out of the realm of possibility, but yeah.
Look, we just made a deal with Hartman in Nashville. I mean, you know, it happens. Mm-hmm. You're right. It doesn't happen a lot. Let's move on to the next one. Steven wants to know, Elliot Friedman said on his podcast that he believes the Hawks will make a run at John Tavares. What kind of shot do you think they have of landing him, cap situation aside? What would it take to get him? Well, he's an unrestricted free agent. He is going to command a boatload of money. He's going to be in the 10 million a year range. I just don't see, that happening. I mean, you know, in a perfect world where you didn't have the cap constraints, yeah, it'd be nice to be able to make a run at him. But you know, your thoughts on just the opportunity or the likelihood of them even making a serious run at Tavares?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's realistic, but it's in the realm of possibility. Like, they have the money to make it work, but I'm not sure they have.
Well, what do you mean? The Hawks have the money.
Like, they would have
$10 million a year.
Well, they would be able to clear some space. Like, you get rid of Hossa, and then
okay, that's half.
So that's half. So that's 11 mil. So I think we're at 11 if you cut Hossa, right? So
okay.
If the cap goes up 5 million, that's 16 mil.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You get rid of.
So 10 million goes to John, and then 6 goes to the other 6 million. So
I look at Pittsburgh. They got Crosby, Malkin, and Derek Brassard up the middle, and they've got, you look at who Crosby played with this past season, it's mm-hmm. been a bunch of AHLers who are on.
But here's the thing. If you do go down the Tavares road, that means you don't address the top four with a significant player. Like,
right.
you, I guess maybe you could do Trouba at 2.8, but anybody 4 million and up, which all those guys are, and obviously Erik Karlsson is 6.5 million. it takes you out of that running. So then it doesn't solve your, you know, and again, the back end was the biggest issue.
Yeah,
so
that's leaky.
I just, in a realistic world, we could maybe make the, if everything was solid everywhere else and you could fill in with you know, entry level and $1 million players here and there, okay, maybe, but it would take you out of the running to, unless you unloaded, you know, a Taves or something, or Seabrook or something like that.
Right.
Yes.
And I think it's hard to do this kind of deal with Joel Quenneville as the head coach because he likes his defensemen to be very defensively responsible. Like, you look at Pittsburgh, they won a cup last year on the second of a back-to-back without Chris Letang. And then they did it the first year without Trevor Daley because he got hurt mid-playoffs. So, like, if you had a system like that where, like, being responsible in your own run wasn't that big of a priority, where you want to just be, like, a running-gun team, like, that would probably be fine. The problem, too, with this is if you sign him to such a long-term deal, you're really – I don't know how you – I have no idea how you re-sign Schmaltz and DeBrincat. Like, one of them is either leaving, both of them could be leaving, because they're going to command a lot of money, too, if they take the next step next year and the year after that.
Yeah, I mean, it's wishful thinking. I just, I don't know.
I mean, I do think they will get aggressive, though. Yeah. Didn't one year they try to explore Malkin?
There was talks,
So I don't think, I think Stan has called, has probably asked.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to but... You know, we'll see. Next question from Kayla. Big time Kayla, the handle goes. Do you think Sakura, and I'm assuming Dylan, is considered a lock to make the team out of camp? And same with Victor Edsel. I'll start with, I think Sakura is pretty close to being a lock. And, I mean, although I do have some questions about his size, you know, I mean, I don't think he, you know, again, it was a really small sample size, you know. But, he didn't make the impact that I saw. I saw a lot more out of DeBrincat right away when he first stepped on the ice than I saw from Sakura. But I do believe that he has a really good shot at making the team. And Edsel brings, you know, they moved him to wing in Rockford, which you brought up, I think, on our last podcast, that might be an answer to the left wing side with Kane long term or something like that. You know, we've said it many times on this podcast, they are so lacking depth down the middle. And Edsel was a center, primarily a center. So I would like to see, I like a lot of a great shot. I mean, his shot, I mean, the way he was sniping in the Calder Cup playoffs was off the charts.
He's got pretty good hands too for a big man. I think he is as close to a lock as you can get to making the team out of camp as a young guy. But I will say, this question did make me think, because there are going to be a lot of guys competing for the same spot. So I don't want to just say, oh yeah, Dylan's there. Like, there could be, you know, I could see this potentially as a John Hayden situation where he starts with the team, and then maybe goes to Rockford for a little bit and then comes back. I'm not sure he's a lock, though, to be in the top six. I think the Blackhawks want to shore up the top six for sure and maybe have Sakura start on the third line. But I do think he will make the team out of camp. And Edsel, that's tough. I cannot say he's a lock. I think he will start the year in Rockford, maybe get a year, you know, a few more months down there, maybe even a full season of just playing that North American style of hockey, either wing, center, just get the system more. I mean, we've documented this over the past month or so of like his season of going from Sweden then to the AHL and Blackhawks, whatever. So I would not say Edsel is a lock.
All right, next question comes from Beehawks 2018. What do you think about Andreas Martinsson signing this week, and do you think he will get a spot on the roster or spend some time in the AHL? Again, I like what he brings to the table, size, which, you know, a lot of these Blackhawks forwards lack in that department. But your thoughts on Martinsson?
Yeah, I think he's just more of a depth guy. He might be an AHLer and try to be one of those veteran guys that help the young guys in Rockford more than he can help the big club. But I will say he played 9 games with the Hawks last year, and during those 9 games he led the team in hits. So you know, if you need, if you're lacking that aggression or you're lacking that, you know, just lacking some type of spark plug on that fourth line, I don't think he's a bad option. But I don't think that's anything more than just a depth signing in Rockford and trying to get those young guys playing the right way down there.
All right, as we wrap up this again, next week's our draft preview podcast. We'll break down who we think the Hawks will take with their two first round selections, and you know, I think both of us think they're going to maybe deal that second one. Mm-hmm. As we exit stage right, let's go on record here. I think you asked me after Vegas had won Game One, who I liked in the series, and I still told you I liked Washington.
You liked Washington,
I still like them now.
I was 0 for 2. I was 0 for 2 in the conference final, and it looks like I'm going to be 0-3 in the final.
0-3.
Do you think Washington gets it done tonight?
I actually think no. I think Vegas. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. Yeah. Once again, I think you know, they're going to pull out their Cirque du Soleil, Disney on Ice, you know, Carrot Top. It's going to be absolutely Vegas bonkers.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to get off to a flying start. And I think they're going to win like a 5-3, 5-4 type of game. And I think they'll rock the red back in D.C. on, what, Sunday?
Yeah.
And I think O.V., Kuznetsov and company will be hoisting it on Sunday.
Who wins the Conn Smythe, Kuznetsov or O.V.? That's tough.
That's
because
tough.
How does Ovechkin not win
it,
but at the same time?
Yeah.
I think
it doesn't always go. Like we've seen here in Chicago, you could make a case.
Crawford, 2013.
Sure. that other players should have got it. So I'm going to say they're going to go the sentimental favorite. Yeah. I think it's going to be Ovechkin.
You've got to go Ovechkin. Although Kuznetsov had, I think he's like the fourth player in the cap era that has 30 points in the playoffs, which is nuts to me. Which is, yeah, it's terrific.
It won't be an honorable mention of Michael Kempney,
who had a goal the other day.
He's been great. And there was that interesting story this week of how, you know, he asked to be traded from the Hawks and how he had planned to resurrect his career overseas, and now it looks like he's going to get his name etched. And it does go. We brought this up 3 weeks ago. Again, podcast patting ourselves on the back here, but we called it the shocking best trade deadline acquisition could be Michael Kempney.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what his next contract is going to be, because how do you evaluate someone like that? It's a small sample size.
With John Carlson. Like,
with John Carlson, yeah. You know, I don't like. That's going to be interesting to me, because does he get a bridge deal, or was that enough where? You know, you can.
Well,
sign
if he wants to stay there,
five.
It's going to be a bridge deal, because I think John Carlson is going to eat up quite a bit of that cap space. Yep. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Hawks Talk podcast, brought to you by our Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. For Charlie Romeliotis, I'm Pat Boyle. We'll catch you next week on our draft preview podcast.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.